Okay, we're beginning here at the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Bet. We'll just quickly review the Mishnah at the bottom here that we did yesterday, which is Hishila Chaluka Nechrit. She lent her garment to a non-Jew, Ola Nida, or to a woman who is already Tmea, Harezu Toleba. If there is a stain or something on the Beged that would be an indication of Tuma, we don't know if it is the woman that she lent it to or from her. Over here, we assign it to the woman she lent it to, because the two women, over here, Nachrit and Nida, if she assigns the problem to them, it doesn't change their status at all. It doesn't do anything to them, has no impact on them. Therefore, we allow her to assign the Tumah to them, and she will remain Torah. On the other hand, Gibbon Hashim Shalav Shuvah Chaluk Echad, they have three women who wear the same or share the same garment, Oshia Shuvah Safsal Echad, or they sat on a common bench, V'nimtza Lav Dam, and then either the Chaluk, the garment, or the bench has Damim on it. Kulan Tmeot, they're all Tmeot, because over here, each one of the women has no differentiating factor from the other women. They're all on an equal plane. Since they're on an equal plane, we can't make one Tahor and one Tmei or assign it to one or the other. Therefore, we're going to say that they're all Tmei and Misafik. Yeshua, Safsal Shel Evan, had this taken place on a bench of stone, or the Itztaba Shel Merchatz, or on the pillars of the bathhouse, or Nechemiah mitaher. Nechemiah says over there that it's tahor. Shei Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Kol Davar Sheinu Mekabel Tumah. Any item that is not Mekabel Tumah, Inu Mekabel Ktamim. This din derabanan of Ktamim only applies to items that are Mekabel Tumah, not to something that is not Mekabel Tumah. And since stone and these itztabot are not Mekabel Tumah, therefore if you have a damim that is found on them, it'll have no impact on the woman. So Amar Rav, Benachrit Haro'ah. When we're talking about a non-Jewish woman over here, we're talking about a non-Jewish woman who's already mukzeket to be menstruating. She already has sightings of damim, and we know for certain that she's reached a point where she does menstruate. Mimai, how do you know that's true? Domya de nida. Because the other case is that she lent it to a nida. Well, if she lent it to a nida is a woman who's already menstruating. So ma nida de kachazia, af nachrit de kachazia. Just like in the case of the Mishnah of nida, where it's clear that the nida is already a woman who is sighting, then so too with the man in Achrit that is already citing. So Amar Rav Sheshir, Kinaim v'shochiv, Rav Amar l'hashmaitata. Rav was obviously dozing off when he said this memra. D'tanya, there's an explicit braita, Tola ben Achrit. Rabbi Meir Omer ben Achrit haruya lirot. You can be Tola in a non-Jewish woman, and Rabbi Meir says you can be Tola ben Achrit haruya lirot. A woman who reached the age where she should be menstruating, even though she hasn't menstruated yet. Even Rabbi Meir over here only says it in a case where she's where he doesn't require to actually be citing it. Neither the Tanaim and his Braita have a requirement that she actually be a menstruating woman. Nobody requires to actually be a woman who has reached the point where she's already been menstruating. How could that make sense? Rabbi Meir lochomro? The way you've now explained the Braita, Rabbi Meir turns out to be the Chumrah. Rabbi Meir the Kula, but we know that Rabbi Meir is really the Kula. Because the way you're explaining the Braita now, Rabbi Meir says that it's Ru'uya Lirot, and Ru'uya Lirot is the Chumrah in that case. But the Tanakama would say, even if she's not Ru'uya Lirot, even if she's prior to the stage where she could be menstruating, still we could assign it to that Nachrit. Now, how do we know that Rabbi Meir is the Kula? The Tanya, we have a Braita. Einu Tola b'Nachrit. Rabbi Meir Omer Tola. The Tanakama says, you may not be Tola b'Nachrit. Rabbi Meir says, you are Tola. Velakasho. Hach. So now, what about the first Braita? Now, it seems to be that there is a difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir in these two Braitot. Rabbi Meir in the second Braita says Tola. In the first Braita, he only says Tola if she's Ru'uya Lirot. The Tanakama over here says Eino Tola. And it sounded like from the first Braita, the way that you wanted to explain it originally, Tanakama says you can be Tola even if she's not even Ru'uya Lirot. Taritochi, Vihi Shuro'a. So what you'll do is explain the first Braita in the case where the Tanakama says Vihi Shuro'a. When she has already been citing, when she's already menstruating, then we are Tola bin Achrit. Rabbi Meir Omer, Bi Ru'uya Lirot. As long as she's reached the age where she should be menstruating, that is sufficient. And therefore, the Tanakama says we are Tola in an Achrit when she is Ro'a. But if she's only Ru'uya Lirot, then Eina Tola. And that'll be the explanation of the Tanakama's position in the two Braitot. In the first Braita, the Tanakama says we are Tola. That's in a case where she actually cites. And the Tanakama in the second Braita says Eino Tola is in a case where she has yet to be menstruating. She only is Ru'uya Lirot. In the first bright, Rabbi Meir says that she has to be Ru'uya Lirot. And also over here, he says she has to be Ru'uya Lirot. And that is sufficient to bring her to the point where we can be Tola on her. Tana Banan. Tola b'shomeret yom k'neged yom b'sheni shela. U'b'soferet shiv'a shelo tavla. Or on the woman who's counting the Shiva Nikim, the Fika Chimi Tukenet, Vechavarta Mikukelet, Dibi Rabbi Shimon Gomliel. So here we're talking about a woman who did have a sighting. She had a sighting during her Yemei Ziva. And the next day, the second day, when she's Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, she's waiting now to become Tehora from that sighting from the prior day. Or she's already a Ziva Gdola. And now she's waiting for a Shiva Nikim in order to become Tehora. If we have now these two women who come before us, one is Tehora Legamre. And the other one is either being Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, or she's counting her Shiva Nikiim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we assign the Ketem to the woman who already is, quote-unquote, Me'ah, even though now she's reached a point where she's either Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, or Shiva Nikiim. That will now cause her a problem. It will undermine her count. The Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom will now have to wait an additional day in order to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The woman is counting her Shivinikim, this will be Soter, her Shivinikim, and she'll now have to start the Shivinikim again. Nevertheless, we assign Tuma to this woman, because according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the woman is Bechezkat Tameya. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tola. Rabbi says, no. This woman is now Bechezkat Tara. Rabbi says, no, because you're now going to cause this woman a difficulty. It's actually detrimental to this woman to assign her the Ketem. If you assign her the Ketem, it's either going to ruin her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, or it's going to ruin her Shiva Nikim. And therefore, lefikach shtehem mekul kalot. They both are considered to be tmeot misafek b'shavin. And they both agree shetola b'shomeret yom keneged yom b'rishon shela. And we're talking about shomeret yom keneged yom. It's Yemei Ziva. She has a sighting of Damim. On that same day that she had the sighting of Damim, we find the ketem. Then we will assign it to the woman, because that has no impact on the woman. She still has to wait the next day. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The fact that she has a ketem on that first day when she's already tmeah is not maleh and not morid. Ubiyeshevet al dam toar, or a woman who is a lioledet, she is now in the yemei tahara, meaning that if she sees damim during the 66 days after 14 days of tumah for nekeva, or the 33 days of tahara after the 7 days of tumah for a zachar, in those days if she has a sighting of damim, that damim will be considered to be tehora. Therefore, we'll assign the ketem to this woman, because again, it'll have no impact on the woman. Or for a betula, if she has a sighting of damim, we assume that that dam is not dam nida, but rather the dam of her betulin. And so because of that, if we assign the dam to her, it'll have no detrimental impact on her. So everybody agrees, including Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, agree with these three women, where if you assign the ketem to that, these women, it'll have no impact on her. Therefore, we will assign it to that woman in order to protect the second woman. So the Gemara says, "Lefikach, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lomali." Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel conclude his statement saying, "Well, therefore, this woman is problematic, and the other woman is fine." That's obvious from what he said. He says we assign the ketem to the woman who's counting Shimon Kim or is counting Shemet Yom Keneged Yom. That is obvious conclusion from what he said. Mishum de Rabbi. It's for the parallel structure because of the fikach of Rabbi. So the fikach de Rabbi lomali. So why do you need the fikach of Rabbi? Rabbi says, therefore, both women are mekulkalot. Of course, that's the case. If you can't assign the ketem to one of them, then they're both problematic. He says, no, ma'udu teima aydish takach ketem gabat itkalkel. Now we'll say the one who is currently with the beged, she will get assigned the ketem. Will be machzik the ketem with the woman who is currently in possession of the beged. Idach lo titkalkel. The other woman, even though she's part of the Safik, since it's the beg is not with her right now, we will not assign the ketem to her. Kamashalan, that's not the case, and they are both considered to be mikul kalot. Amar Rav Chista, tamei v'tahor shalchu b'shnei shvilim. You have a person who's tamei, and a person who's tahor, that went on two paths. Echad tahor, ve'echad tamei. One of the paths is tahor, and one of the paths is tamei. So we are uncertain as to which path each one of these individuals took. So therefore, the Rav Chista says, "Banu l'machloket Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel." This is same as machlok between Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Over here, do we assign the tumah to the one who is tamei? Do we say the one who's tamei walked on the path that's tamei, and the one who's tahor walked on the path that's tahor? By doing so, again, there's no detrimental impact to the two individuals. And will actually protect the individual who's Tahor. Kivla Ravado, Ravada says, I don't understand. Even Rabbi would agree in this case, because in the case of Nida or Zava, over there Rabbi says that we don't assign it to the woman because they're of equal stature. They're both classified as being Tehorot. As Rashi points out, that the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, when already she starts to count into the day a little bit, then she can already go to the mikveh. She doesn't have to wait until night to go to the mikveh. She can go to the mikveh right away. And technically, she's Tohara right away and could be together with her Baal. But we saw earlier in the Masechta that we are Gozer, that she do not be together with her husband, Shema, that she might see later in the day. But technically, this woman is Tohara. And the same with the woman who's counting her as Shiva Nikiyim. She's technically now Misuleket Midamim. Therefore, she has the same status as the Tohara. And if you now assign the Ketim to her, it's going to undermine the status that she's acquired. So therefore, the two women are considered to be on equal plane, and that's why we say they're both Mikul Kalot. Of Ahocha, my Nafkalon Mino. But Shvilin, why does it make any difference to us? We're better off assigning that the Tamei went down the Tamei path, and the Tahor went down the Tahor path. Again, for the Tamei to go down the Tamei path has no impact on him. So therefore, why not say it that way? Even Rabbi would agree. It's the equivalent of the cases in the Breita that we brought before, B'Shavin, when everybody agreed, even Rabbi agreed, that we're Tola. How's Rav Chisca now going to explain this? Rav Adda's question is a good question. The cases are not parallel. So how does Rav Chisca create it that the cases are parallel? He says, Sof Sof, Ihi Tvila Boi. That is because, nevertheless, this woman still requires a Tvila. So she's not considered to be really Tehora. And she still has a Chezka Tuma, because she still has to go to the Mikveh. And her need to go to the Mikveh makes her a Tmeya. And therefore, even though it will undermine her count, whether it's a Svira for Shiva Nekim or Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, nevertheless, we're going to assign the Tumah to her because she does have the Chezka Tumah. Tosafot points out over here, when we're talking about the Tameh and the Tahor that are walking down the path, the person that's Tameh over here is not someone who has already counted their 7 days and had their Hazayah for Tumah Tameh, and they're just waiting to go to the Mikveh. Because here, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees that that person's already classified to be far enough along that they're considered to be Tohorim. What we're talking about here is a person that's been Tameh for the Safar Katzat, a person who counted a portion of the days that they need to become Tahor. They're not completely Tahor, they're in the middle of their Tahara process. Tosafot also points out that even though, when we're talking about the case of Shnei Shvilim, which is actually Tumah Bishut HaRabim, we know that Safek Tumah Bishut HaRabim is Tahor, so therefore there's much more of a reason to be mitahir by the Shvilim than there is by a Nida, or by Ktamim. How do we compare these two cases? Tosafot says that they both have a din of Chezkat Tahara. By the case of Shvilim, it's Safek Tumah Bishut HaRabim, therefore there is a Chezkat Tahara on both of the individuals. By the case of the Ktamim, also say that they both have a Chezka Tahara, because a Ketem is not a full-fledged indication that the woman is Tmeya, because you can always assign or assume that the Ketem came from some exogenous variable. And therefore, they also have here a Chezka Tahara. So because of that, in both instances, the Chezka Tahara has not been undermined. And since the Chezka Tahara has not been undermined, then we look at the cases as being parallel, and we compare the machloket that we had between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi in the case of Tamim to the case of Shvilin. According to Rav Chisca, they're completely equal. According to Rav Adda, it's equal to the, in the sense that Rabbi would agree in this case that we assign the Tumah to the person who is Tamei, because that's the equivalent of the cases in our Braita where Rabbi agrees to the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Itmar, some of the Girsot in the Gemara had Itmar Nami, but this Braita that we're about to bring is supportive of the understanding of Rav Adda. Am Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Tamei v'Tahor, v'afilu Tahor v'Talui. If someone was Vadai Tamei, or in a Tahor, or somebody was Tahor and another person was a Safek Tamei, Shalchu b'shnei Shvilim, echad Tamei v'echad Tahor, they went down two paths. One path is Tamei, one's Tahor, we don't know where they went. Tole Tamei b'Talui. We assume that the one is either Tamei, or the one who is a Safek Tumah went down the path that's Tamei. Tahor b'Tahor. And we assume the one who's Tahor went down the Tahor path, the Divrei Hakol. As according to everybody, meaning everybody means both Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And that would accord with the way that Rav Adda explained the machloket over here. He says Rabbi would even agree in the case of Shnei Shvilim, because the Shnei Shvilim case is not exactly parallel to the case of Tamim, because here the person is Tamei, or even if he's Safek Tamei, there's no detriment to them, there's no difficulty caused to them by making them Tamei or putting them on the Tamei path. Unlike the case of Tamim, where it undermines their count, either of the Shiva Nekim or Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and it does cause difficulty, and therefore the women are on equal planes and will make them both mikul kalot. Baimine Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi. Ma'u litlot ketem begetem. What's the din with regards to assigning a ketem to another ketem? A woman has the beged, and she has a sighting of a stain on the beged. So she's now tmeyami drabanan, but she sighted a ketem. Then again, they shared this beged with another woman, And between the two of them, somebody had a ketem on this beged. Now, do we say, since the first woman already had a ketem, and even on this beged, that the second ketem that we find now also belongs to her? Or do we say no, that this is an independent issue, and we will not assign the second ketem to the first woman who had the first ketem? Aliba de Rabbi lo tibayla. According to Rabbi, there's no question here. In the case where Rabbi says, even though the woman already had become a full-fledged nida, and now she is either Shomer Yom Kenegidom or Shivin Kiyim, over there he says, Eino Tola, even though she's already in Bechezka Tuma, Hocha de Me'alma Ka'ati. Over here, by the case of Ketem, where it's a possibility that the Ketem does not even make her Tmeya, because it could have come from an exogenous variable, so over here where it's even a Safek whether she's Tmeya, there, for sure, we're not going to be tola in this woman. So lo koshke. So kitibay lach alib de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Your question is really only a question in the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Hatam hu duka chazia migufa talya. Over there, by the case of the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom or the Shiva Nikiyim, over there, the woman already had a full-fledged sighting. So she knows she is tmei'ah. Now she's in the process of becoming tahor. But nevertheless, she was vaday tmei'ah at one point, and we'll sign it to her. Ava hocha de ma'alma ka'ate lo talya. But over here by Ketamim, where there's a possibility that the Ketem did not come from this woman, but came from somewhere else or outside variable, then maybe no. I'll tell you. Odilma lo shnar, maybe makes no difference. Similarly, ain tolim. Says, no, we are not tole in a Ketem. My, why aren't we tole? The fish ain't tolim. Because we're not tole. To Rashi says, what does that mean? Deme alma atila tumat Ketem kama. Velo b'cheskat ruahi. Even though we're choshesh that the first Ketem makes her tmeyami drabanan, possibility that that came from an outside variable. And so because of that, she does not have a cheskat tmeya. She might be tmeya because of the din drabanan, but she doesn't become a b'cheskat tum'a. And therefore, ain't tolin. On the other hand, the Aruch and others suggest that the fish ain't tolin here means no reason here. That's the misora. That's the aloha l'moshe misinai. Why aren't we tole? Because we aren't tole. That's the misora that we have. Eight of eight. Ain't tolim ketem beketem. Right? That says you're not to be tole ketem beketem. Not a question, because that's exactly what we just said. Ish ila chalukah l'nechrit. If she lent her garment to a non-Jew, oli yoshevet ala ketem, or to another woman who is now being soferet her nida because she saw a ketem, harizu tola? She is tola. Therefore, she is tola in that woman. So now we're asking a question in Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, who says that we aren't tolim ketem beketem. Here you see in the second half of the Braita that we are tole ketem with a woman who had a sighting of a ketem. Mar says, wait a minute, before you ask a question, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, hagufa kasha. The Braita itself is internally inconsistent. Reisha amart ein tolin. By the Reisha, you said that you can't be tole ketem beketem. Seif amart tolin. And then in the Seif, you say you can be tole. Halokasho, wait, with regards to the internal structure of that braita, we don't have a problem. Harabi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Depends who you're speaking about. Rabbi says, ain't tolim ketem beketem, he's the Tanakamo. The latter part that says you are toler, that's according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ikudamri, some say, ha, vaha, Rabbi, that they're both authored by Rabbi. Habarishon, shalah, habashini, shalah, depends what day of the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. If it's the day that she had the sighting on, then on that day she does have a cheskat tuma, and we will assign the ketem to her because it won't be maleh morid. It won't change anything for her. She still has to wait the next day to tara, even though she has multiple sightings on the day before. So we'll assign it to her. On the other hand, if it's on the second day, meaning that she had a sighting day one and now she's being shomeret yom keneged yom, if we assign the tuma to her on that day, she's now going to have to wait day three because that will be her shomeret yom keneged yom. So that will be the case where we say ein tolin. Vashi amar, and Vashi makes a third suggestion. Havah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. These, both the cases in that bright are according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lukasha, Kan, the Mafreya, Kan, Habo. This one is retroactively, and one is prospectively. Now, Kan, the Mafreya, Kan, the Habo is Machloket Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says, Kan, the Mafreya means we will assign Tuma to her retroactively, because that'll have no negative consequences. She was Tumea beforehand, and saying for the 24 hours prior that she was Tumea does not really impact her. On the other hand, in terms of prospective tuma, that we will not assign to her, because on that case, it will undermine her, either Shivin Kiyim or Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and therefore, she's on equal footing with her, with the other woman, and that, therefore, we'll have to say that they're equally in trouble, because we can't assign it to one over the other. That's Rashi's understanding. So suppose that's a number of questions, but the simplest of the questions is, Zeu tema shenitla ze ketem b'chavrita l'chatzein. How can you say that this ketem belongs to this woman only for part of it? For the mefreya part, it belongs to this woman. Mekana l'aba, we'll have to share the tumah here. How do you do something like that? How do you assign a ketem to a woman only partially? And therefore, Tosafot comes, according to the Ri, up with a different explanation of the Gemara of Mekana l'aba and the mefreya. Mekana l'aba mefreya is description of when the ketem was cited. Did the woman already have the sighting of the ketem, and then only afterwards they shared a beged and had this safek? Or did they first have the safek in sharing of this beged, and after that fact, the woman had a sighting of a ketem, and that'll make a difference. If she has the sighting of the ketem first, and then only then do they have the safek arise between them, over there she already has a chezkat tumah, she already has a sighting of a ketem, and we'll assign it to her. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, where the safek arose first between them, and then one woman sees a ketem, we don't automatically then say, oh, now she saw a ketem, must be that the previous one was hers. That we will not say, and that's a case where we say, ein tolin. So now, we've explained the braita to be internally consistent. Either we say it's a machloket Rabbi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, or we say that it's Rabbi, but it depends on which day of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, or we say it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and we differentiate between a kana l'aba and l'mafreya. Where according to Rashi, l'mafreya means we do assign the tumah to her for the me'eit le'eit l'mafreya. Kana l'aba, we do not assign the tumah to her. Whereas the Ri says that l'mafreya ain't tolin. L'mafreya, we do not toleh, because l'mafreya is she saw the ketem after the safek already arose. On the other hand, mikana l'aba, when it comes to kana l'aba, we are toleh, because she already saw the ketem, she already has a chezka tumah, and then only then did the safek arise. So now we've explained that in the Braita. But now it really is a question of Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi. Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi said before that Divrei Akol, according to everybody, there is no din of being tole ketem beketem. Over here, no matter which explanation you use in the Mishnah, in that Braita, it doesn't turn out to be Divrei Akol. So Ravina lo kasho. It's not a question on Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi either. Because Hachi Gamar, Hishila chaluka lenachrit, balat ketem hari tola ba. The balad ketem is not a description of the woman who borrowed the object, but rather the woman whose piece of clothing it is, whose garment it is. So we'll say, if she lent it to an achrit, the woman who now has the garment and has a ketem on it can assign that ketem to the achrit. Where it says, v'ha olio shevet al ketem ketani, doesn't say that this is the balad ketem. It says to she lent it to a woman who is already tmeyah because of a ketem. When it says achikam, I have to reread the way that Breita reads, which is, Ol Yoshevet Adam Tohar. There's two women here that she's lending to. She's either lending to a nachrit, or she's lending to a woman who is, during the period of time after her leida, where her dam is the person who lent it to them. It's the Balat Ketem. Balat Ketem, meaning the woman who now has a garment in her hand with a ketem on it, she then may be Tola Ba. So what the Ravina does in order to solve the problem, it says, that there is no case in that Braita where you lent it to a woman who's Tmeah because she had cited a Ketem. That's not the case at all. The two women that we're lending to are a Nachrit or a woman who is Tahor because it's Dam Leida during the period of time when she's Tahorah. What's the Ketem that's mentioned there? Well, now it's the Balat Ketem, the woman who now has the garment in her hand and has a Ketem on it. She wants to know what to do with it. Did it come from her? Did it come from these other women? She can assign it to these other women.
Amar of Matna, my time the Rebbe Nechemia. What's the reasoning behind the position of Rebbe Nechemia? Dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk in Yishayahu, v'nikta la'aretz teshev. Kevin she'ashva la'aretz nikta.
The damim already reaches the ground which is not mikabel tuma, then nikta. It's no longer a problematic.
Amar of Huna, Amar Rebbe Chanina, mitaher haya Rebbe Nechemia, afilu b'achorei kli cheres.
Nechemia would be mitoher, even if a damim fell on the back or the outside of a klicheres. Midin tuma v'tara, we know that a klicheres is only mikabel tuma mitocho, on the internal side of the klicheres. Migabo, on the outer side, there is no din of tuma.
Versus pshita.
Why would you think otherwise? Nechemia makes a definitive statement that if it's not mikabel tuma, then it's not a problem in terms of a ketem. The outer side of a klicheres is not mikabel tuma. It's not mekabel tumah, it's obviously not going to be a problem for ketamim.
Mar says, now, ma'udotem l'gzor gabu gabo atu tocho,
which is actually a gzerat chachamim in general, that we're metameh the outside of the klicheres because of the internal side of the klicheres.
So let's just say the same thing over here.
That if there is damim on the outside of the klicheres, we'll make her tameh anyway, because if it happened to be on the inside, it would be problematic. K'mashuman that no such gezerah exists, so they didn't make such a gezerah. Amar Abaye, mitaher haya Rabbi Nechemia b'matnuniyot shein ben shalosh shalosh. If you have a piece of cloth that has less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot, then it's not mikabel tuma. It's not a beged that's big enough to be mikabel tuma. Delo chazin lo li'anin v'lo yashirin. It's so small, it's not useful as a patch. Not for a poor person, not for a rich person. It's useless. If it's useless, it doesn't have a din of beged, it will not be mikabel tuma. Over here, interesting, the Gemara doesn't say pshita. Of course not. That's because Tosfot says that in a case of 3 by 3, if you're machshivit, it will have a din of beged. So it's not so pashut here that it's automatically Torah. Nevertheless, that's the din. We say that if it's a 3 by 3 etzba'ot, that is considered to be Torah. And since it's considered to be Torah, if there's a ketam on it, it's not problematic. Dorish Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Matna mishmei derava locha k'Rabbi Nechemia. The locha is like Rabbi Nechemia. Samalei Rav Nachman, Abba Tani Masi balifnei chachamim v'timum. That there was a case like this that came for the Chachamim and they were mitamei these women. And you're saying the loch is like Rebbe Nechemia? We have a case law which states the opposite. Mahi, what's this case? The Tanya, we had a bright, the Shtena Shim Shayu Tochanot Berechayim, Beretochanot Berechayim Shayu, that were working in a handmill, Benim Satam Tachara Pnimit. So one woman was closer to the mill than the other. So if there is Dam in front of the internal woman, the woman is closer to the mill, Shtehen Tmeot. Then they are both tmeot, because, of course, the inner woman is close to that damim, but even the woman who is outside or further away, she sometimes pushes in or leans in to be close to the other woman. Therefore, it could come from either one of them. Tachar hachitzonah, on the other hand, if the damim is found underneath the outer woman, hachitzonah tmeah v'apnimit teorah, then the outer woman is tmeah, but the woman who is close to the mill is not tmeah, because she never moves away from the mill, she always stays close to the mill. Tacha ben tayim, find it in between them, shteim tmeot, and they're both tmeot because it could equally come from either one of them. Maase v'nimtza dam al sfata shalom bati. There was a case where they found blood on the edge of the bathtub, on the rim of the bathtub, v'lale shal zayit, or on the leaf of an olive tree, b'shah shemisikot et tenor, at a time that they were stoking and heating up the urns, or heating up the ovens. Obama said the chachamim, in this case, came for the chachamim, vitimum, and they say they're both tmeim. And here's a case, we're talking about an ale zayit, we're talking about a leaf, which is not mikabel tuma, and nevertheless, we're saying that they're both tmeim. So that's against Rabbi Nechemia's position. And you see here, the chachamim are paskening against Rabbi Nechemia, where it says tanayi, it's a machloka tanayim. Why does that solve your problem? It doesn't solve your problem, because the chachamim say one thing, and Rabbi Nechemia is a yachid on the other side. The halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Nechemia. So the Tanya, we had a bright, Rabbi Yaakov mitamei, Rabbi Nechemia mitaher. Rabbi Yaakov is mitamei, Rabbi Nechemia is mitaher, v'oruch chamim k'Rabbi Nechemia. So that case that's mentioned in the Brayta was al pi Rabbi Yaakov. It's not the chachamim in general. That Brayta is talking about Rabbi Yaakov. It's a dat yachid. It's a dat yachid of Rabbi Yaakov, and it's a dat yachid of Rabbi Nechemia. And the Chachamim Paskin, or they subscribe to the position of Rabbi Nechemia. So therefore we have one Tanu who says that the Machloket between Rabbi Nechemia and the Rabbi Yaakov, and a Paskin like Rabbi Yaakov. And then we have another Brayta that says that there's Rabbi Yaakov versus Rabbi Nechemia, and the Chachamim sided with Rabbi Nechemia. So you have a Machloket Tanaim, and Rav says we pass on the Locha is like Rabbi Nechemia. According to that Brayta that says the Chachamim Paskin like Rabbi Nechemia. Alright, next Mishnah. Shalosh nashim shayu shinot b'mita achat. They have 3 women who were sleeping in this single bed. B'nim sadan tachar achat mem, and you find damim under one of them, kulan tmeot. They are considered to be tmeot, they move around during the night, everything can move. Therefore, there's no reason to believe one of these women is tmeah any more than the others. And therefore, they're all considered to be tmeot. But ka achat mem b'nim say tmeah, if one of them does a check afterwards and realizes that she is now a nida, then he tmeyah shteim teorot. We assign the ketem or the stain to her, and the other two will remain teorim. Betolot zu bezu, and they are toled zu bezu. Again, this seems like redundant, and we'll see in the Gemara what this is referring to. Vim lo ayu reuim lirot, if they are not supposed to be seeing damim, winatam galein ruhu yirot, then we look at them as if they are seeing damim. And again, we'll explain this in the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav. The assignment of the stain here in the bed to this woman is only true if she does a check immediately afterwards, and she has a sighting of damim immediately afterwards. Then we will assign that ketem or that stain to this woman. It's clear here that he holds like barpado. Damar, kol she ba'ala b'chatat, anything that would cause her husband to bring a chatat, tarota tmeot, then her tarot are vadai tmeot. The case where her husband's going to have to bring a chatat is a case where she does a check, it's really not a bdika, but a kinuach, immediately as the shamash leaves, immediately after intercourse, and she sees damim on it, that will indicate that when they were having bi'ah, she was already a nida, and therefore the husband is chayav chatat, and since he's chayav chatat, the tarot are also considered to be vadai tmeim in that case. Bala b'asham talui, if she waits a slightly longer duration until the time she takes for her to get down from the bed and do the check, then it's a safek whether this damim was there during the time of bi'ah came afterwards, and therefore the husband brings an asham talui. With regards to the tarot, they'll be tluyot, we won't burn them, but we also won't allow them to be torim, they'll be in a status of safek. Bala patur, if she waits such a long duration to the point where it has no relevance again to her, assume that it happened while they were having intercourse, and therefore the Baal is completely patur from bringing any korban. In that case, tarotera torot. Tarot are completely tohor. Rabbi Oshaya Amar afilu bala b'chatat. Even if she checked so soon afterwards, that had she had a setting of damim in that case, her husband would have to bring a chatat. Tarot are not considered to be vadait meim. They're only tamei misafek. Gemara says, Bishlama hotom imer shamash akve l'dam. I'll explain to you why. Because over there, by the case of bi'ah, I can say to you, why did she only see the damim afterwards? It's because beforehand, she was having bi'ah. And the shamash, the aver of the man, plugged the ability of the blood to exit. And that's why only after the cessation of intercourse, did the damim come out. Of a hocha, in a case where she's working with tarot, if there was dam there, manakve, who's stopping it from coming out? It should have come out already. She should already have expelled the blood immediately because there's nothing stopping it from coming out. The fact that she only sees the damim after she finishes the tarot is an indication that the damim wasn't there before. It only came out afterwards. What's a mashal that captures this idea of Rabbi Oshaya? The yelid v'zakein, talking about a young man and an older man. They were walking together. As long as they are walking together in the way, the young man keeps pace with the old man. The old man's going slowly. He stays along with the old man. Once they enter the city, and the old man's going home, and the young man's going to his home, the young man takes off and runs back to his house. He picks up the pace now, because he's no longer governed by the pace of the older man. Now, he can run at his own pace. So too, over here, the nimshal, as long as the shamash is inside, the damim won't come out. As soon as you remove the shamash from the picture, the damim come out easily and quickly. Rama Abaye gives another mashal to express that position of Rabbi Oshaya. Person puts his finger into his eye. As long as the finger in the eye tears very slowly, it doesn't really tear. Natala etzba, as soon as you pull out the finger from the eye, dim amemeher lavo. All of a sudden the tears start to come forward and pour out. So it's over here. As long as they are involved in bi'ah and intercourse, then the damim don't come out. As soon as you remove the ma'akev, the plug, then the damim come out at high speed. They'll come out immediately. Right? But tolot zu bazu, we mentioned the Mishnah that they're allowed to be tolot one and the other. So that was a redundant statement in the Mishnah. So Tanur Banan, Ketza tolot zu bazu. What's this case of tolot zu bazu? Ubra v'shein ubra. We have a woman who is pregnant and a woman who is not pregnant. Tola ubra b'shein ubra. Then the pregnant woman can assign the ketim to the woman who is not pregnant. Pregnant woman is mesulekit damim. We don't expect to see damim from her. And therefore, if you have a stain on the bedsheet and we don't know which woman it came from, we're going to say it came from the woman who's not pregnant. That's the more likely scenario. Minikah b'shein minikah. You have a nursing woman and a non-nursing woman. Tola minikah b'shein minikah. The nursing woman can say that it definitely belongs to the other woman because I'm nursing and therefore I won't see damim. Zekena v'shein zekena. An older woman who's reached menopause with a woman has not reached menopause. Tola zekena v'shein zekena. The zekena, the woman who has reached menopause, can blame it on the other woman. Betula v'shein betula. Over here, betula does not mean virgin, but betula means a woman prior to reaching the stage where she menstruates. So you have a betula, a woman has yet to menstruate, v'sheino betula, and a woman already has started menstruating. Tola betula, v'sheino betula. The one who's yet to menstruate can assign the problem to the one who has already begun to menstruate. Now, Rashi Tosafot over here points out, Omerib, da'afgu b'hachin yonot, de'kamer shas tolin. Well, I tole, when you have these imbalances that are mentioned by the Gemara. Habayeshla veset, but someone who doesn't have a veset, over there are not going to be tola, even though the one who has a veset has more evidence and a fixed cycle where we should know where the tumah is. Nevertheless, we do not. In all these cases, we're going to assign the damim to one of the two women who is much more likely, almost definitively, the one who has the cause of the blood, because the other women are not in a position where they should be seeing dam, either because they are pregnant, because they are nursing, because they've reached menopause, or they're under the age where they would start menstruating. Hayu shteyem ubrot. What happens if they're both pregnant? Shteyem minikot, or they're both nursing. Shteyem zkenot, do they both reach menopause? Or shteyem tulot, do they both prior to the point where they started menstruating? So over here, there's no reason to assign the tumah of the one over the other. But on the other hand, there's no reason to assign them this damim at all, because these women are all mesulaket damim. Zoi shishaninu, lo ayu ruin lirot, ruinoti lohen ruyot. And that's what the Gemara says is the meaning of the last line in our Mishnah. Last line in Mishnah says that even though if these women who are mesulaket damim shouldn't have a sighting at all, nevertheless, since they're on an equal plane and they all have the same status, we changed their status to be lo ayu ruyot lirot. Even though they're not supposed to be sighting dam, ro'im ki lohen ruyot. We look at them as if they are women who normally see damim. We have to explain this blood over here. We know it came from one of these women. And even though all of these women have a dinim selekat damim, nevertheless, we're going to make all of them tmeot be safek, because there's no reason to assign the tumah to one woman over the other. In a case where you have a pregnant woman and a non-pregnant woman, we're going to assign it to the non-pregnant woman because it's more likely that it came from her. But when you have two pregnant women, there's no reason to assign it to one over the other. And because of that, they both become tmeot. They both are mikul kalot. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue with the next Mishnah tomorrow.